okay. And then we have some like audio recording things that we have to set up too. Okay, I think we're good. All right, so I'm gonna kick off the interview and I'm just gonna ask you a few background questions and then we'll go back and forth. I'll ask the first chunk of questions and then Stephanie is gonna ask the second chunk, I'll ask the third chunk and she'll ask the final question. So the first question is, do you consent to participating in this oral history interview?
You consent.
Thank you. Would you prefer for your interview to be under a Creative Commons license or an unlimited right to reproduce license?
I think I'll do the Creative Commons license.
Great. Can you please tell us your name?
My name is William Cummings. I go by Billy.
And what is today's date and time?
Today's date is July 3rd, and it's 4:35.
Okay, so last question in the background section. What is your position at the company that you work for?
Probably jack of all trades, but I guess my official title would be manager.
Okay, so Stephanie's going to take the next chunk of questions.
Cool.
So how has COVID-19 affected your job?
It's changed the job for sure. Basically being in a food business that specializes in school lunches, it pretty much abolished the whole operation. So that's definitely one way it's affected the job. The other way that it's affected the job is we kind of had to pivot to really save some jobs. So we had to come up with something else to do so that we wouldn't fully just crash the whole company.
How has the COVID-19 pandemic affected the employment of people you know? In what ways?
Mostly for me, it's probably to relate to the job that I'm in. Being the manager of probably anywhere from 50 to 100 people, we essentially had to lay them off overnight. So it's definitely affected people that I know and people that I've employed.
When you had to pivot, were you able to bring some of those people back in?
So when we pivoted, we did. We, as a company and as a whole in the company, we had to probably lay off about 200 employees in Southern and Northern California. So when we pivoted the business, which we kind of had to do a couple different pivots. Southern California did something different than Northern California, just kind of based on the demands of what we were pivoting to. We were able to bring back at one point probably about a dozen people.
So what was the different pivots that you had to go through? Because you did school lunches before, and then you went to kind of like a pickup grocery situation. Were there other situations that you had to pivot to?
Yeah, so when it first hit, like, it was just shut down. And then the owners of the company really started to, try to go after things that were going to be community-based. Like, we started looking at World Central Kitchen, trying to maybe partner with them. Also looking at counties and, homeless shelters, like, what are they going to start doing for food now? So in Northern California, yeah, we pivoted to doing like a pickup drive-through contactless grocery. And in Southern California, we pivoted to doing homeless shelters. So kind of like in a broad spectrum, we were roughly doing about 15,000 school lunches a day. And then when we pivoted, that all went away and we started doing probably roughly, I think maybe about 1,000 homeless shelter meals in Southern California, and then a whole different operation for Northern California.
What do you want people to remember about those working in food service during the COVID-19 pandemic?
For me personally, it was just kind of like the realization that I chose an industry that I never really realized that could be totally abolished in a matter of days. You know, you just heard about, I mean, well, for our situation, going from revenue one day and employment to zero revenue, no employment the next day. It was like overnight things changed like that fast. And I mean, as you saw in the news with restaurants just going from, you know, serving to nothing, it was an eye awakening thing that like I never thought would happen in a business that I chose to, or a career that I chose to go into, where you always think that I'm in food, I'll always have a job, I'll always be able to eat, and then in a blink of an eye, that changed really drastically.
Do you think it'll continue that in the same trend that it's going? There's been a lot of talk about, you know, the industry and how it's going to fare in the future. There's so many different facets to it, but especially with schools and school lunches, do you think that this is kind of like a trend that's going to continue, or do you think that the industry is going to bounce back at all?
I definitely think it's going to change for sure for you know, a greater year or so. I mean, I would really imagine until everything is back to the way it is, but as everybody says, it's probably never going to be the normal, you know, we'll definitely have a new normal. I know as for us, today, July 3rd was our last day of doing the pantry up here. So now we are starting to focus on our school, and we've actually had to change our model from what we were doing. So our model was kind of like prepackaged individual meals. We would send a snack bin that would have, you know, maybe 13 or 14 different snacks in a different variety. We would send bins of different fruits. So we would probably do like 3 fruits a day, probably 2 vegetables a day, and it would all be in a bin. So now what we're actually doing is we're going to kind of like what you would call like an a la carte style. So the website has to be changed. Everything has to be changed. So now it's going to be the parents will go online. They will order basically whatever and how much they want of anything, you know, so they can order an entree, or they can go in and they can order an entree and a drink and a piece of watermelon and jicama or whatever. And then it'll all be bagged with the kid's name on it. And it'll be separated in like a cold Cambro and then be delivered to the schools. So trying to give the schools less contact, since, you know, actually, we don't really know 100% what all the schools are going to be like, whether they're going to eat outside or in the classroom. But now it's like we have to try to make it as easy for our customers to distribute than what it used to be of hundreds of kids coming through a lunch line, picking their own snacks. And, you know, so it's trying to basically go a la carte, touchless is our new model here.
So do the kids get an option in the food that they're choosing, especially like when it comes to older students, high school students,
yes,
or parents?
Well, it's called Choice Lunch. So we definitely have the choice in there for, you know, whether the kids want to go on an order or the parents do it. But yeah, the kids definitely have a choice. Our menu usually ranges from roughly like 8 hots to about maybe 8 or 9 colds. And it runs the gamut. Kid-friendly food, pastas, mac and cheese, really good salads, sandwiches, sushi. So, you know, there is something, an option there for everybody. We do like bagels and cream cheese for like a picky eater type thing, you know. So, yeah, the kids definitely have a choice. And the website is pretty friendly that whether you do it on a desktop or an app, like, yeah, they definitely could go through and pick out what they want. And it's definitely kid-friendly.
All right, I'll turn it over to Shannon.
Okay. All right. So Billy, we're going to move into our final set of questions. And these questions are about how the pandemic has impacted you personally. And they can obviously include stories about your employment as well, if that makes sense for you. So the first question is, when you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it? And how have your thoughts changed since then?
You know, when you first kind of hear about it, you just heard about it, you know, kind of this thing happening in China, didn't really pay much attention to it until really it kind of hit you in the face. Like, it was quick, you know, like, I mean, 1 minute I'm producing meals, and then, you know, you get a phone call later that day and it's like, you have to lay off everybody in your kitchen. And it's like, you know, super quick and fast, and like, just, you had to make decisions like on the spot and immediately, you know. So it was, to be honest, it was scary because I'm laying off a bunch of people, and now I'm like, well, we have no meals, like, and I'm in a business that is food driven based on, you know, orders that are coming in, and there are no orders. So what's that mean for me? To be honest, I immediately went on not having faith in the company that they would try to think of something else, but, you know, just for my family's sake, is maybe I need to start looking at delivery jobs for like Instacart or whatever, you know? So that was kind of my mindset, was like, survival is what I'm going to start doing.
Okay. What have been the biggest challenges that you have faced personally during the COVID-19 outbreak?
I mean, I think for me would be mostly family, and I'm just a sensitive person. So like my employees, like when you work with the workforce that I work with, it's, you know, we're not all well-to-do, well-off people, you know? So to have to, my immediately thought is like, man, what are my people going to do? But then also, like, on the flip side, it's just like my poor wife, you know, she's at home. She's not a school teacher. And now she's having to try to teach our three boys different grade levels work. And I just more or less felt for her. And actually, I felt a little bit for my children that, man, this year just seems kind of in the drain, like, you know, and I actually worry about their education still going through. I mean, I know it's early and I know it's going to come back, but with everything about schools, it's just like, you know, I worry about their education and their ability to keep pace, you know, and if we have to be continuing to teach from home, it's just going to put a lot of stress on the family as a whole.
Next question, and there are about three more questions left, just so that you kind of know where we are. How are people around you responding to the pandemic?
You know, I think everybody kind of has their own thing. I think most people around me are responding in a way that we technically all should kind of be, you know, shelter in place. You know, you keep your bubble, you try to like limit your risk. Some people get more extreme than others, and you know, I think it's to each his own. And sometimes I don't think you realize what's going to happen until it really hits home. I think that's how people around me are dealing with it, many different ways.
Okay, there's just a couple more questions. Stephanie, are you going to take these last two questions, or am I? I apologize. I can't remember if I'm supposed to keep going.
If you want to take the last two, it kind of flows. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you. So you sort of started to touch on this, but what do you imagine life is going to be like a year from now?
I would hope, I guess what I would imagine is it's still probably going to be more the same. Like, we're still going to be doing like our a la carte things. People hopefully will be able to start. I think it really all depends on like the pandemic itself, you know? And I think like if we can try to keep it at a minimum, or just do our part and do our best to try to slow this thing down, then hopefully we can start getting back to some kind of normalcy that we thought. But I would say probably in a year from now, it's still going to be a little bit of how it is now.
So from your perspective, if you could be, you know, maybe the person making policy right now, or if you could just tell everyone in the community that you lived in, how they should behave to get to a point where you kind of foresee us hopefully being in a year, what would you say to them?
Probably say wear your fucking mask. I mean, like, just that would probably be the biggest thing. And you know, I know it sucks now, but we just gotta keep on and keep stay in the course that is gonna limit this to hopefully finding a cure or finding a vaccine. And just, you know, we just gotta look out for each other, because I think that's the biggest thing. Like, humanity and people being kind and doing everything that we can to help our brothers and sisters out, to make sure that we're all safe and healthy, would be just the message that I would try to put along.
Okay, this is my final question, and then Stephanie, I'll have one more for you. I guess I kind of asked that one. Knowing what you know now, what would you say to future generations? So we kind of talked about, you know, what we'd say to get us to a place where you would hope we are in a year. But what would you say, you know, 20 years down the road, 80 years down the road, about the pandemic that we're living in? And
yeah, I mean, I think, as a father, I think I would give my children advice that, you know, career-wise, you probably want to try to look at a career that, like, and who would have ever thought I would start to be thinking like this, but could survive a pandemic, you know, and make sure that you are able to continue to work through and financially support whatever you're supporting at that time. But, I think that's kind of the biggest thing that, you know, I don't know if, It's a weird mindset to start thinking about that, you know, if I knew a pandemic was going to happen, would I have chose food service as my career? Probably not. I'd probably have looked to doing something that I know could do from home, or computers or something like that, you know, or doctor, or, you know, whatever it is that can just keep you employed through something like what is happening now.
Thank you. Okay, Stephanie's going to ask our final question.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share or like us to know about your experience?
Yeah, you know, like I said before, it was scary. I'm actually fortunate to work for a company that they have empathy. They, you know, Choice Lunch has definitely rose to the occasion for the amount of people that they could bring back. If they could have figured out a way to bring back everybody, they would have. But you know, it's nice to be able to work for a company that can pivot as quick as we did and try to continue to have some employment for people that, you know, that they know they needed down the road as well, to keep the company afloat and keep it going. But you know, it's a testament to those guys that the three owners, that they were able to figure it out quick and get us back on track and, you know, keep the company afloat essentially, while also keeping some of the people afloat as well.
Well, that wraps up our questions. Do you have anything else, Shanna, that you wanted to add?
Sorry, I kept muting myself. No, Billy, I just wanted to thank you. We're really, really grateful for your time and for your voice and for your contribution. It's such an important part of the archive. So we're grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, you guys, for asking me.
Yeah, we'll be in touch. We'll definitely give you access to the transcript and audio and let you know where it hits in the archive. And if you have any questions for us afterward that come up, you know how to reach us. So just let us know, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Shanna. Thank you, Stephanie. It was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.